We'd like to continue in the book of Romans, and we'll have just a tiny bit of review from last time, because it seems to be a few weeks in between our sessions. Okay, let's just open in prayer. Father, just guide us through your word. You told your disciples that when the Holy Spirit has come, he would guide them into all truth. We don't want to be guided by men, by a church, by a denomination, but by you, Lord, by your Spirit. Pray you guide us. Guide me. Guide our ears, and as we heard this morning, may we have ears to hear what you have to say. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Okay, what I do with my pointer here is... Okay, so we're in Romans chapter 2. And last week I told you about the important transition that happens between chapter 1, and chapter 2, right? An important transition takes place, and that has to do with the personal pronouns, right? This is a review. Okay? Again, a personal pronoun is any one of the pronouns used to refer to the speaker or to the one or more to or about whom or which he or she is speaking. Right? So you have, again, the first person, it's I. If I speak about myself, I'm in the first person, personal pronoun. If I'm speaking about you, it's the second person. If I'm speaking about others, them, it's the third person. Right? And so Paul makes a very important transition, which helps us understand that he's now talking to the church. Right? He does talk about them, but now he's talking to the church. And chapter 1, verses 18 through 32, this is when he's talking about them, okay? Using, this must be set on automatic, because I'm not touching it, it's going. It's going to speed me up, isn't it? Okay, set on automatic. It must be set on automatic. Okay. Yeah, see, I'm not even doing it. Okay, it's going to be too fast for me. I can't stop and talk then, hold on. That's not good.
Yeah, 23 times.
Yeah, we have to slow. We've got to take it off automatic here. Slideshow. Set up slideshow. Manually. That's it. Michael might have had that on there. The setup automatic. No, I could not keep up with it. Sorry. All right, let's go back. Okay. Transition takes place using personal pronouns. Okay. He uses in the first, these verses, 18 to 32, they 6 times, them 9 times, there 8 times. Not referring to the church, but to those outside the church, okay, 23 times. So in these verses here, 18 through 32, right? He mentions that 23 times. And then when he starts chapter 2, he now transitions to use the word you many times. Okay? You. In that first verse, it is, therefore you, thou, King James, you are inexcusable man. So he's letting them know he's not talking about those wicked people that they once were. He's now addressing the book to them. Whosoever you are that judges, for wherein you judge another, and if you condemn yourself for you doing the same things. In other words, if you're judging someone for doing something wrong and you do it, you've judged yourself. Okay? And he used the word we looked at last time, therefore, which means, remembers what therefore means. Definition, and the consequence of that, as a result of, or for this reason. Okay? So that, therefore, you are inexcusable, O man. In the last verse of that first chapter, verse 32, he says, who knowing the judgment of God, that they which commit such things are worthy of death. Not only they do the same, but have pleasure in them that do them. Now, if you think back to a few verses prior to that, in chapter 1, he's talking about homosexuality, okay? He's talking about God giving him over to a reprobate mind. He's talking to a really deplorable downfall of mankind, like in Sodom and Gomorrah, which we see is going on today. In fact, Jesus says that as it was in the days of Sodom, so shall it be before the coming of the Lord. So, in previous verses, he's talking about the deepest wickedness and sinfulness of man, the reprobate mind. So now, is he saying to the church, therefore, okay, in other words, if you do those wicked things, those homosexual things, you will not escape the judgment of God? Well, most Christians will stay away from such wickedness, right? Though there can be a falling into it, I guess. But we disdain that form of life, right? That lifestyle of homosexuality. We know it's wicked. We know it's not of God. We know it's very evil. But when he says, therefore, in consequence, he's not talking so much about that, but about, didn't take out my notes, this. Being filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, and that includes homosexuality, but notice, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy. Wow, do you envy? Are you covetous? You covet things? Debate, deceit, malignity, whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, despiteful, proud, boasters. Are you proud? Therefore, because of these things, okay, if you tell people, hey, don't be proud, but you're proud, you don't have to be a fornicator, right, to come under the wrath of God. But if you walk in pride, you know, I'm great. Okay. It's like Joel Osteen, he teaches, I am great, I am wonderful, this is what you should believe, I am successful, I am this, I am that. He's building up people's confidence in themselves. But we have to have confidence in Christ, okay? Without understanding, well, disobedient to parents, that's for a Christian faith, okay? Disobedient to parents, without understanding, covenant breakers, without natural affection, implacable, unmerciful. Who knowing, there's that verse again, who knowing the judgment of God, that they which commit such things, what things? These things. Not just homosexuality. Those that commit such things are worthy of death, not only do the same, but have pleasure in them and do them. Okay? So again, he's letting the church know that they have to be holy. And Paul does write to the Corinthians about holiness in chapter 6, verse 19. I speak after the manner of men because of the infirmity of your flesh. Now we all have that infirmity of flesh. So we all are tempted. That's why the devil tempts us, because we are infirm, we're weak. And he knows we can fall into just about any sin. Remember the story of Oswald Chambers. He was accused of having an affair with a woman in his church. It was proven that he didn't. It was false. It was a lie. It was gossip, evil gossip. But what Oswald Chambers said, he's a great man of God, he said, what bothered me the most is not that I was falsely accused of having an affair, but that I could have had an affair. Why? Because he knew the infirmity of the flesh. So don't think about yourself that you could never fall into that sin. Oh, I could never do that. I could never think that. Yes, you can. Given enough temptation, given a weak spot in your life, we can commit just about any sin there is, right? We dread the thought, don't we? But through the infirmity of your flesh, for as you have yielded your members, servants to uncleanness before you were saved, and to iniquity, unto iniquity, from sin to sin to sin, that's what you did, even so now, notice now, yield what? Here's that word, your members, servants to righteousness, unto holiness. So he's writing to them, there's discord in the church, there's probably because of that, there's other sins in the church, especially pride, okay? Especially the Gentiles who are boasting themselves over the Jews, Jews over the Gentiles. Okay. Now yield your members. So it's something they had to do at the present time. Okay. So out of the infirmity of the flesh, we sin. May not be willful sin, but just because we're weak. But we can, yes.
I'm sorry, I have a question.
Yes.
Can you go back one?
Sure.
At the end of that
yes.
Paragraph there.
Here?
It says, yeah, not only do the same, but have pleasure in them that do them. So the people who are doing that sin have pleasure in other people, too, that are doing it, right?
Does it mean pleasure in the people that are doing it, or pleasure in those things? I think it's referring to pleasure in these things, not in the other people who are doing it. Though it could be, but I don't know exactly what that means. But in other words, it's probably the way the King James is worded here. Not only do the same, but have pleasure in them that do them. Maybe it's referring to the people that do it. I have to look that up a little bit more.
Yeah.
My version says, approve of those who practice them.
Okay, approve. All right, so it is then.
Right?
Yeah, approving of them who practice it.
A Christian wouldn't, by nature, approve of those things going on.
You might have a false approval of that. You might condemn it in other people, but do it yourself. And then not really rebuke someone properly for doing it, right? In other words, because in a sense you can approve it, but But again, we don't want to be involved in these things, okay? No matter what, okay? And we don't want to take pleasure or approve of those people who do that. No, we shouldn't approve of that. Okay, so the purpose, one of the purposes of Paul's letters is for them to go unto holiness, okay? For them to yield their members now to be servants of righteousness. Remember, Paul wrote to them, so as much as is in me, I am ready to preach the gospel to you that are in Rome also. Well, he said before that the Romans, Christians might have thought, Jew and Gentile, why should we have to hear the gospel? We're saved. And we know the gospel means good news, but it's not just forgiveness of sins. It's not just salvation. It's also holiness. Holiness is good news. Okay? Here's the question. I thought I took these off it. What is holiness? Duncan Campbell gives a good example, quickly, of what it is. A definition. A baptism of holiness, a demonstration of godly living, is the crying need of our day. Godly living. Simply what holiness is. Okay? To live a godly life. Follow peace with all men and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. Looking diligently lest any man fail of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you. This is the author writing to the Hebrews, believers. Lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you. Do you ever get bitter about how someone's treated you? Ever get bitter over where God is leading you? Okay? How God's dealing with you. Right? That's the root of bitterness that springs up and defiles the soul. Any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, and thereby many are defiled, become unclean because of the little root. Okay? It's only the little fox that spoils the vine. It's the little leaven that leavens the whole loaf. It's just a little root. Little root of bitterness, of jealousy, of envy, covetousness. It grows. Okay? It grows. Follow peace with all men and holiness. Now the question I was going to ask, which is up here in my notes, what is holiness? We just defined it by Duncan Campbell. Godly living. Is it necessary for getting to heaven? Well, according to Hebrews 12, it is. Without holiness, no man shall see the Lord. I told you Mike and I were in a church down south, a big church, 1,000 members, and the pastor preached a good message. Then at the end he said, now remember, holiness is optional. Now, when you think about it, if the Bible says, without holiness, you won't see the Lord, and the pastor just said, you don't have to be holy, it's optional, he is leading his congregation to hell. It's exactly what he's doing. If he's telling people, you don't have to obey God's word, you don't have to be holy, he's leading his congregation to hell. Because if God says, without holiness, no man shall see the Lord. So that's pretty heavy, heavy stuff. Charles Spurgeon said, a faith which works not for purification. Now, examine yourself to see whether you're in the faith or not, says the apostle. A faith which works not for purification will work for putrefaction. What's putrefaction mean?
Rotting.
Rots. Yeah. So our faith, again, faith without works is dead. If your faith is not crying out for holiness and purity, you're going to identify with the impure. You're going to become more and more impure. You're going to putrefy. Your faith is going to rot. Your whole life is going to rot. Okay? Putrefaction will work A faith which works not for putrefaction will work for purification, will work for putrefaction. Unless our faith makes us pine after holiness, it is no better than the faith of devils. And perhaps it is not even so good as that. Why?
The devils believe.
The devils tremble, okay? They believe and they tremble. A holy man is the workmanship of the Holy Spirit. So Spurgeon said, you have to have a faith that pines after holiness. All right, now you're going to see my little internal notes here. Ed knows when he sees the X's up there, he takes them out. What we're going to see now today, I'm going to keep the lesson pretty short, maybe just half an hour each time. There's more internal evidence that Paul is writing to believers, both Jew and Gentile Christians. We looked at some of the evidence before, but there's more evidence to show us that Paul is not writing this epistle to anybody, though anybody could gather something from it. He is writing it to the church. He wants them to be holy. He wants them to have power over the flesh. But the gospel does not just mean we're saved from our past sins, but we have power over our present sins. As Paul said in the Romans, that because you're under grace, sin will not have dominion over you. That's good news. That's good news. Romans 2 now. Here is further evidence in the second chapter. I'm going to see if you can find why this is evidence to speak to the fact that Paul is not writing unbelievers. He's writing Christians, both Jew and Gentile. Who will render to every man according to his deeds, to them who by patient continuance in well-doing, seek for glory and honor and immortality, eternal life. Already there's a clue here. But unto them that are contentious and do not obey the truth, but obey unrighteousness, indignation and wrath, tribulation and anguish upon every soul of man that doeth evil, right, sin, of the Jew first, also the Gentile, but glory, honor, and peace to every man that worketh good, to the Jew first, and then to the Gentile. There is a number of points in there, evidence that he is not speaking to unbelievers. If he was, he'd be leading them to hell. Why? What do you see there? Why can this be only spoken or written to believers? Deeds or works, good works, to them who by patient continuance in well-doing, I mean doing good, seek for glory, honor, and immortality, eternal life. In other words, he will render to them the deeds of their good works. Is that how we're saved? No. We're not saved by doing good works. So if Paul's saying to the unbeliever, listen, God will render to you, okay, salvation, okay, as he says here, honor and peace to every man that works good, to the Jew first. Oh, here. Eternal life. Okay? You're seeking eternal life. Well, I'll give you eternal life because you're doing good works. No. Right? Glory, honor, and peace to every man that what? Works good. You're going to get the peace of God by doing good. You're going to be honored by God by doing good. No. Right? If Paul was writing to the unbelievers, he'd be making them think that they could be saved by seeking immortality by good works. Now, God's going to honor that effort. No, he doesn't honor that effort. Okay. But to the believer, this is said. That the believer, Paul is writing to unbelievers. If Paul's writing to unbelievers, it would seem he is saying you can be saved by works. Let's read on to verse 13. For there is no respect of persons with God. For as many as have sinned without the law shall also perish without the law, and as many as have sinned in the law shall be judged by the law. Notice, for not the hearers of the law are just before God, but the doers of the law shall be justified. He's not saying that's what the Jews think. Paul is saying this is the truth. For not the hearers of the law are just before God, but the doers of the law. So if Paul is writing to unbelievers, especially the unbelieving Jews who don't believe in the Messiah, they say, well, we'll keep on in our Jewish ways, try to obey the laws of Moses, and we'll be justified with God. Or a non-Jew or non-religious person would say, if there is a God, if there is a heaven, I'll just be a good moral person, I'll do good, and I'll get to heaven. Paul is saying, don't be a hearer of the word, but a doer of the word, as James tells us. Okay? Now here, we're going to look more into this next time. For as many as have sinned without the law, that's without Mosaic law, those Gentiles, they have sinned, they did not know the Ten Commandments. They shall perish without the law. They're still condemned. As many as have sinned in the law, those are the Jews, who have the word of God, they shall be judged by the law. And in fact, their judgment will be harder than those who did not know the law. But we'll look at that a little bit more next time. So again, for not the hearers of the law are just before God, but the doers of the law. Was not Abraham, said James, justified by sacrificing his son Isaac? Here's James. Know this, my beloved brothers, let every person be quick to hear, slow to speak, slow to anger, for the anger of man does not produce the righteousness that God requires. Therefore put away all filthiness and rampant wickedness, and receive with meekness the implanted word, which is able to save your souls. Now again, notice he's talking, James is writing to my beloved brothers in the faith. James, the brother of Christ, right, Mike? Sister James, brother of Jesus, okay? To the 12 tribes, which are the spiritual Israelites he's writing to, right? He says, my beloved brothers, in other words, receive with meekness the engrafted or implanted word, what? To save your souls. Right? He's speaking to those who are saved, who need to continue, right, until the end to be saved. Be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. And that's what I believe Paul meant when he said here, it's those who do the word of God, those who obey the Lord, they shall be saved. Right? Verify but what James says. Now we're going to end right here, I think, with John Bunyan. At the day of doom, day of judgment, men shall be judged according to their fruits. It will not be said then, did you believe? No one's going to ask you, did you believe? No. But were you doers or talkers only? Okay. Were you doers or talkers only? Okay. So, we're just going to do that much today because it's going to take a little more time to go into the rest of that. We're going to look at the conscience and how some people are judged by conscience. They do not have the law of God. They've never heard of Moses. They've never heard of Jehovah or Jesus Christ. We're going to look at how they'll be judged by their conscience. We'll look at that next week. Okay? So I'm going to try to keep the studies down to about a half an hour, something like that. All right, I'll get into that other verse there some more, Anthony, you brought up. I wasn't prepared yet to speak on that, but we want to remember that Paul is writing, God is speaking to the church. Okay? As I said before, whenever a warning is given in the Bible, take it personally. Okay? Take it personally. Don't always think, well, he's talking about someone else, talking about them. Well, I would never commit those sins. I could never do that. I could never fall away from Christ. The Bible warns us, okay? Harden not your hearts in departing from the living God. Take that personal, that warning personally, as I have done. Right? It'll strengthen you, it'll help you if you do. All right, let's pray. Lord, we just thank you again. I know, Lord, we're just tired. Lord, we've spent time in your presence today. But this, Lord, day we can keep holy by thinking on these things. meditating upon your word day and night, Lord, that we might grow in holiness, that we might never acquiesce and become lukewarm, but rather keep growing and you have a fire that's growing more brightly within us. Lord, may we heed the warnings given to the church at Rome and to all the other churches. May we heed their warnings as personal warnings that we would be blessed with that final salvation. You tell us in your word that all of us run in a race, but only one wins the prize. So run that we might win. Help us, Lord, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen.